This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And in those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to their own towns to be registered. And Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. And he went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered of her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. And so how did this all get started, you know, this Christmas thing? And some would say that there's many starting points, and they'd be right. But the flesh and blood starting point, if we might call it that, comes after Gabriel's famous message. You know Gabriel's famous message, sometimes called the Annunciation, which is recorded for us in Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. And there we read, "And the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." And of course, many at that time would have wondered if anything good could come from there, from Nazareth. And still the scriptures say, "And the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary," or in the Hebrew, Miriam. "And the angel came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one,'" or as we have it traditionally, "'Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you.'" Which especially in light of what follows suggests to me that perhaps God's perception of Mary was even greater than her perception of herself. And perhaps that's just the point and why this is happening, that God thought more of Mary than she thought of herself. How rare and how refreshing. And Luke continues in verse 29, but Mary was greatly troubled at this saying. I bet she was. She didn't usually have an angel turning up in the house. And she tried to discern, Luke says, this sort of a greeting and what it might be and what it might mean. You know, what's going on? And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, because she was afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Or in the Hebrew, Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation. And he will be great, Gabriel says, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, that is, over Israel, forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Which reminds me of what Max Lucado once said, whether you live to be 9 or 90, life is short, but the kingdom of God lasts forever. And Luke continues, and Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? That is to say, how can I conceive in my womb and bear a son, given the fact that I'm a virgin, that I've never known a man sexually? And the angel answered her and said, this Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, which is a rather extraordinary description of this thing that he's talking about, that Mary would conceive in her womb by the power of the Holy Spirit. And seemingly her virginity will remain intact. And in fact, she conceives virginally, and she will give birth as a virgin, untouched by a man. And so Gabriel says in verse 35, and therefore the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. That is to say that God the Father will be his father. And that not by some sort of divine coupling, as is so common in the Greek and the Roman myths of God's coming and having sexual relations with human beings. None of that. No divine coupling. But by means of a special creative act of God within her womb. And the angel continues in verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. She's not barren now, for nothing will be impossible for God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord, presumably just a teenage girl. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And Luke says, and the angel departed from her. And presumably as Mary submitted herself and said yes to the thing that God was calling her to do, she conceived. But then what about Joseph? Well, we have to turn to Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, to hear about that and be told of Joseph's famous dream. You're familiar with that, aren't you? Joseph's famous dream. And we read in the first chapter of Matthew, and beginning at the 18th verse, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, and before they came together, that is to say, before their marriage was consummated, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in Luke's gospel, we're told that very soon after Mary's encounter with the angel, her subsequent conception, Mary traveled to from Nazareth to Judea to be with her cousin Elizabeth, as she was mentioned by the angel, who was already herself 6 months pregnant, and Mary stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. until Elizabeth gave birth to her son, who was named John, who we would know later as John the Baptist. And after that, Mary returned to Nazareth. And so when she returned home, she was already then perhaps a little more than 3 months pregnant. Anyway, pregnant enough to have a bump. And so Matthew continues, and her husband Joseph, that's Joseph, her betrothed, who, in keeping with the tradition of betrothal at the time, would have been called her husband, even though their marriage had not yet been consummated. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame publicly, resolved to divorce her quietly, that is, to end their betrothal privately. But Matthew says, as Joseph considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. That is to say, and what the angel is saying to him is, Mary hasn't been unfaithful to you, Joseph. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the angel continues, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And Matthew continues, and when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Which brings us then to Jesus' famous birth. In Luke chapter 2, and you heard it just moments ago. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus, that is the Roman emperor, who also at the time was known as Octavian. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration or census when Quirinius was governor of Syria, Luke tells us. He's saying, this isn't a story about once upon a time in a far-off land. Here's the emperor, and here's the governor of Syria. And what I'm talking about is the census that took place when he was around. And so Luke says, and they all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, and to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And that's where David was from. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Which reminds us of Herod's inquiry. You may remember that. About where the Messiah, the Christ, was to be born. And indeed, we read in Matthew chapter 2, and Herod, Herod the Great. There's another historical reference. Herod the Great. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written in the prophet. And then they quote from Micah 5 and verse 12. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And so Luke continues, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. They wrapped him up like a mummy. Strips of cloth all around his legs and his arms, his body, and laid him in a manger. That is a feeding trough for domesticated animals. Because, as Luke says, there was no place for them in the inn. Now, there is, as you may know, some debate about where Jesus was actually born. Of course, in the East, the tradition is that this all took place in a cave. And then, of course, because we're Westerners, for the most part anyway, we are familiar with the tradition of the stable, that this all took place in the stable. or also in a place perhaps within a human dwelling nearby where animals were sheltered and the animals would be brought into the house at night. In fact, that's Kenneth Bailey's position in his book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. And to Middle Easterners, he said this would make perfect sense. But whatever the actual location, the point is that the setting for Jesus' birth was a humble one. It's a peasant's birth, and not at all what we perhaps would expect would be given to Jesus. Knowing who he is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we might have expected him to be born in a palace and placed in a gilded crib. But he's somewhere else, wherever that is, and they lay him in a feeding trough for domesticated animals. Which brings us then to the shepherd's famous witness. The shepherd's famous witness, in which Luke says, and in the same region, that is not very far from where Jesus was born, there were shepherds in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. When I read that, I think about when we were in Bethlehem and look out there and see the hills and shepherds, Palestinian shepherds. In the same region where Jesus was born, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Well, of course they were. Here it's nighttime. And then all of a sudden, this bright light, or they're like deer in the headlights. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, and behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people, not just Israel, but for all the people, and even for them, the shepherds." In fact, I don't know if you know this. I mean, we have these crib scenes, they're in people's yards. I think we have one in the gathering space, and we look at these little shepherds, and aren't they so cuddly? But in their day, they were considered to be shiftless. You didn't know whether they were going to steal from you when they came into town to get their supplies. They were on the bottom of the rung of the ladder, socially speaking. But isn't it extraordinary that when God decides to be born, he picks this peasant girl, and when he decides to send the angels to make an announcement, he sends them to the shepherds. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you." Well, that's sort of interesting. That's sort of a left-handed way to say, go. Go and see what we're telling you, what I'm telling you. "And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, a peasant's birth for peasants to see." And suddenly there was with the angel, this one angel, suddenly there was with this one angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. That is, a multitude of angels. Praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." And Luke says that when the angels went away from them into heaven, and it all went dark again. Can you imagine? You have to go off to the eye doctor after all of this. And their eyes adjusted. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, Luke says, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Indeed, the shepherds couldn't keep silent about the things that they had seen and heard. The angels and the glory of the Lord and the message, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who's Christ the Lord. This is the Savior. This is the Christ, the Messiah, the Mashiach. This is the Lord Adonai. This is the one. And Luke says, and all who heard what they said wondered at what they said. But Luke says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Wow. And it was the Apostle Paul who would write, years later, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. And the prophet Isaiah wrote hundreds of years before it ever happened, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness. Won't that be a change, a government that establishes justice and righteousness from this time forth forevermore. And John wrote, and perhaps most of it you could quote it, John 3:16. Even if you go to a football game, you can't get away from it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I wonder, do you believe? Do you believe? Let us pray. I think of the man, Lord. He said, "If you're willing, you can." And Jesus said, don't you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And the scriptures were told, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Mm-hmm. Indeed, and when you open our hearts, Lord, to see what the shepherds saw with their own eyes, we see with the eyes of our heart, and we trust, and we believe. Even as it is, we're told, it's a gift from God. By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And so, as we are in the season of giving, Lord, we pray that you'd not only give us your Son, but the faith to trust in him, who died for us, that we might live and never be held by death's grip. Help us, Lord, to remember these things in this season, so often commercialized. Help us to remember it for what it's really about and what it really says. We pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.